Good morning. We're going to continue our talk, which I left off here about almost two, three weeks ago. So we're going to continue our journey through Ephesus as Paul is writing to the Ephesian church there. And at this point, he has been talking about the armor of God. So I'm going to continue speaking on that topic, the armor of God. And I will be reading the passages from chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. And let me open this message up in prayer. Father, as we get ready to hear, O Lord, your message to us, Father, help us to have open ears, O Lord, an open mind, an open heart. Help us to receive every precious word, Father God, every glorious truth you have for us, Father. Help us to know that we are Christian soldiers, soldiers of Jesus Christ, Father God, engaged in a very hostile war, against demonic powers, Father, dark forces, O Lord. We just praise you, Father, and we give you all the thanks, O Lord. Help us to stand firmly on every truth and on this special gospel that you have given us, O Lord. We give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read verses 12 to 15, but my focus passage will be verse 15. Here we go. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Amen. So as I was studying this passage here, particularly verse 15, it's interesting that in the midst of warfare, in the midst of spiritual warfare, Paul would introduce this idea of peace. So here we are at war, and now Paul says, now put on peace in the midst of this savage and brutal war that you're in. Put on peace. Because when you think about it, Roman soldiers, they put on sandals, but their sandals were all about warfare. Not about peace, but about warfare. Now the common Roman soldier, the basic Roman soldier, the legionnaire, he wore sandals called the caliga. Their sandals were just called, not combat boots, but caliga. Put on your caliga. That's what they wore. They were thick, leathery sandals that in the bottom, they had cleats. In other words, they had iron hobnails. They were hammered into the sole, into the bottom of their there's the sandals. And the caliga, it helped the soldier, the Roman soldier, to stand firmly in position. And not only that, but it also helped him to navigate through very difficult terrain, whether it was slippery, muddy, snowy, it didn't matter. Whether it was going up, going down, going sideways, it didn't matter. These sandals with these hobnails underneath were meant to give him stability and to give him mobility. So he absolutely needed to be attired with the sandals. Without sandals, particularly the caliga, he couldn't go to war. He needed to have his feet shodded. So here's the thing about us too. Paul says the very same thing applies to the Christian soldiers. You can't go to war without any shoes on. You must have shoes on if you're going to go to war. But it's not the caliga. It's not the caliga that helps the Christian soldier stand firmly in position or to navigate through a world that is hostile to Christianity. It's not the caliga. It's what Paul says, that it is the gospel of peace. It is the gospel of peace. So the idea seems to be that the mind is steadied. It's kept from fear and from flutter. By what? By means of this gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Good news that what? Good news that we are at peace with God. That if God is for us, who can stand against us? That is what should occupy the mind and the heart of the Christian soldier. Being fitted with this type of shoe, with this gospel shoe, that he knows in his mind and in his heart that wherever I go, whatever is happening, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, I can stand firmly because God is with me. And I am completely at peace with God. So when I go to war, we go to war having this thought always in our minds and hearts that God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? So the Roman soldier, his caliga, furnished with nails that gripped, they gripped the ground firmly. They gripped the ground firmly. They had a very solid, a very sure footing everywhere they went. The Christian soldier is meant to have the same kind of grip, same kind of sure footing, the very same. Wherever he goes, wherever she goes, whatever he or she is doing must be firmly footed on the ground that is the gospel of peace. From there, you can't be moved. But we must have what? We must have a solid grasp. We must have a sure footing regarding what? Regarding the teachings of the gospel. Because if we don't know the gospel that well, it's going to be hard to what? To put on the shoes of the gospel of peace if we know nothing about the gospel. The Roman soldier understood what warfare was all about. The Christian soldier needs to understand what the gospel is all about, because it is the gospel that gives them peace within. So we should know some things about the gospel. It is imperative for us to know some things about the gospel. And Paul tells us some things about the gospel. Four pillars of the gospel that we should always know. Pillar number one, that Christ died on our behalf for our sins. Pillar number two, that he was buried. Pillar number three, that he arose from the dead on the third day. Pillar number four, that he appeared to the apostles and then to 500 others. And we get these pillars, Paul says, in the gospel that he gave us. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 6? And here's Paul delivering the message, reminding the Corinthians of the gospel. And here he's going to give them those four pillars. He says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. One, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Two, that he was buried. Three, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And four, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500. We should know the basics of the gospel, because it is through the gospel that we have peace with God. And if we don't know the gospel, if we don't know the pillars, and if we don't build the truths of God around those pillars, it's going to be hard for us to stand. The Roman soldiers, they were ready to stand because they were good tacticians. They were under very good leadership. They knew the plan, the strategy, how they were to overtake the enemy. We too, we need the gospel. Because if we don't know the gospel, we're not going to overtake anybody, especially powers and authorities and rulers of the spiritual realm. No, we need to know the gospel. So the question this morning to all of us here is, are your feet truly shod? Are you free? Are your feet truly shod with the preparation, with the readiness of the gospel of peace? Are they truly and really, genuinely shod with the peace of the gospel? This gospel peace. Because it's an honest question, and you should have an honest answer. Either they are or they aren't. I mean, most of us, if we look around, everybody here is wearing shoes. I don't think there's anybody here who's shoeless, not wearing any shoes. No, we all have shoes on. The point is, do we have the gospel shoes on? Because it's something that you need to put. You either do or you don't. No one's going to do it for you. Paul says, you must put it on. Again, when we keep going here, it's an imperative that you put them on. You must put them on. Are we standing firmly on the good news? The gospel of Christ Jesus. Without question, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the most significant message, the most glorious message ever delivered. Before the gospel, there was no greater message than the gospel. None. After this gospel, there will be no greater message than this gospel. This is the greatest communication of God to man. There's none better, none before, none after. This is it. Paul says, this is it. You are going to get nothing better, and you should know it, because from here you get your peace. You get it nowhere else. Nowhere else. Paul says this, it is the best news to a poor and dying sinner, that someone should deliver to him the gospel. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says this. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But Paul says, I am not ashamed, because the last thing we want to do is be Christian soldiers who are ashamed of the gospel. But Paul says, I am not ashamed. It's called cold feet. Because many Christian soldiers have cold feet. They are afraid, embarrassed, ashamed of the gospel, ashamed to make a stand on it. Cold feet. Cold feet, why? Cold feet because they didn't bother putting on the gospel of peace. They didn't bother being ready, standing firm on the gospel of peace. Therefore, they have cold feet, walking around as Christian soldiers with no shoes on, experiencing a coldness about them in their feet because they just didn't shod their feet. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed. And Paul, his desire is for none of us here, none of us, none of the Romans or Corinthians or Galatians or Philippians, for none to be ashamed of the gospel, but to believe in the gospel and to stand firmly in the gospel, to know the gospel, to live the gospel, to walk the gospel, to talk the gospel. That's what we're called to do. No, let's not be Christians with cold feet. Cold feet. No, no. Let's put on the gospel shoes. That is what Paul is talking about when we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. It's the gospel of peace that gives our feet, that gives our lives. It gives what? Stability. It gives us stability. It gives us support. It gives us mobility. And without the gospel, we have none of this. There's no stability in our lives. There's no stability in our fight if we don't have the shoes on. Paul says, put them on. So here we go, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, it is a biblical command. Okay, it is an imperative. Remember the Bible? It gives us imperatives, things that you must do. Why? Because the Bible gives us indicatives. God gives us the indicative. We already read in the very beginning where Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, that is the indicative. God has given you strength and power. God has done what? He's given you the divine panoply, the armor, his armor. He's given you these things. That is the indicative. So God is not telling you to do something that he hasn't equipped you with. He says, I've given you the support. I've given you the strength. I've given you the armor. I've given you everything you need. That is the indicative. But now comes the imperative. The imperative is now you do something about it. Put it on. Put on the full armor of God. Be dressed in readiness. So like a Roman soldier, a Christian soldier can only be ready. We can only be ready for the long, grueling, tiresome, demanding walk if our feet are shod with what? With gospel shoes. How can we endure? How can we go for this long, hard walk with no shoes on? No, we have, as Christian soldiers, we need to have the gospel shoes on. Absolutely. It demands what? The gospel. This walk. This gospel walk demands readiness with gospel shoes because readiness only comes with the gospel. If there's no gospel in our lives, there's no readiness in our lives. So the readiness comes by knowing the gospel of peace, by knowing it, by living it, walking it, talking it. So in this mighty struggle, because this is a mighty struggle, make no mistake about it. This is a mighty struggle that we're in. With powers and with principalities. It's a struggle, and the Christian soldiers can ill afford to go to battle without any shoes on. No, Paul says, you can't do that. This is part of the armor. It's something you need to put on. Something we need to put on. We know Paul earlier in chapter 4 when he says, walk in a manner worthy of your high calling. Because that was the first thing he says, walk. He began chapter 4 with that statement, walk in a manner worthy of your high calling. Paul did not mean walk this high calling without any shoes on. No. Walk in a manner worthy of your high calling, wearing the gospel shoes, this gospel of salvation. That is a high calling, this gospel of salvation, the highest calling anyone ever received. Says Paul, walk. Walk in such a manner. Can you go to 1 Peter? No, I'm sorry. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you have taken your stand. Remember, this is the gospel. Paul says, I want to remind you. that you received it. You received the gospel, and on this gospel, you've taken your stand. But the question is, have you really? Have you really taken your stand on the gospel? And I'll talk more about this here shortly. And then we think, too, of Peter. Remember Peter? Because he made a similar comment. He said, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And then he added this. He said, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. That's in freaking. Can you go to 1 Peter chapter 3? Chapter 3, verse 15. Peter, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always. Always be what? Always be prepared. Always be ready. Ready what? Well, Paul would say, be ready with the gospel shoes. Be ready with those gospel shoes to do what? To give an answer, to give an account to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. The hope what? The hope in Christ. Be ready. Be ready. We can't be ready if we have nothing to deliver, nothing to present. No, no. But if we're shotted with this gospel of peace, we should have something to present, something to give whoever might ask us, well, what is this hope that is in you? Tell me about it. What is it? Well, either we have it in us or we don't. But Peter says, be ready. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Well, what does that mean? Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Because Jesus said the very same thing when he taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed and sanctify are virtually the same word. Hallowed. Sanctify the Father's name. Father, your name is sanctified. It is holy. It is preeminent. Paul is saying the very same thing about Jesus. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Hallow Jesus in your heart. That there's none greater, none more preeminent, none more glorious, none finer, none more beautiful, none more elegant, none more prestigious than Christ. Hallow him that much. Sanctify him in your hearts, because Christ is the living gospel. Sanctify him in your hearts. And then be ready always to give a defense. Be ready. You're ready. Why? Because you shod at your feet with gospel shoes. You've done that. So what gives us the ability to stand? Firstly, it's readiness. How does readiness come? It comes only to the gospel of peace. That's it. That's it. It gives us the ability and the power to stand. It equips us for a long life journey. It does. It's a gospel that provides us what? It provides us with sure footing. Nothing else will do that but the gospel. Let me ask you this question. Let me get some water. Sorry. Okay. So when we look at the Bible, we look at, let's say, Stephen, the first martyr, the first Christian martyr, Stephen. What enabled Stephen to make a stand, to make a bold stand, to make a bold stand about Christ when hostile Jews, to include Paul, back then, of course, the Bible refers to him as Saul back then, but it was hostile Jews and Saul himself who argued with Stephen. But what gave Stephen the ability to boldly stand there and proclaim the name of Jesus? What was it? What enabled him to stand? What enabled the apostles, Peter, John, and James, and all the other apostles, what enabled them to stand there and proclaim the gospel of Christ Jesus? And despite the threat of what? Despite the threat of persecution and imprisonment, what enabled them to stand? What enabled Paul to boldly go before Festus and King Agrippa and proclaim the name of Jesus? What enabled Paul to go to Mars Hill, the Areopagus, and there preach the gospel to the intelligences of the world that were gathered there. What gave him that enablement? It was the gospel, that they were all standing firmly on the gospel of peace, that God was with them. That God was with them. In the early first century, there was a man, one of our church, early church fathers, Athanasius. His name was Athanasius. He was a descendant from Egypt. And Athanasius, this early church father, he was fighting for the cause of Christ. He was fighting the church. Why? For the incarnation, that God came down and became man. Because there was a time in the early church where the whole church didn't believe this. They did not want to believe this, that God could become man. But Athanasius, he would not let the church get rid of this doctrine. He said, you get rid of this doctrine and we have no gospel. I said, God came down to earth and he became man. And then we knew this man, and we knew that this man was God. And that's why we can participate in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was God, came down to earth as man, and we came to know him as God. And now we are participating in this divine nature. But Athanasius knew that if you remove that doctrine, you lose the gospel. And someone, because Athanasius, he was so stubborn, and he was so passionate about fighting this heresy, that someone once told him, Athanasius, do you not know that the whole world is against you? And his reply was this, then I stand against the whole world. When the whole world comes upon you, when the whole world comes upon the church, when the whole world comes upon you, will you stand on the gospel? Because many Christian martyrs throughout the ages have been standing on the gospel, and they have given their lives for the gospel. Athanasius was one of them. The apostles were one of them. Christ went to the cross because of it. The point is, will you stand on the gospel when the world comes against you? Because the world hates the church, the Christian church, the Christian gospel, the Christian message, the Christian himself, the true Christ of the gospel. There's no love there. No. There's enmity. There's hostility toward the church. Don't think there isn't. No. So when unbelieving family members, maybe brothers and sisters, maybe co-workers, colleagues, classmates, when all these come against you and they begin to maybe mock you or ridicule you because of what your beliefs, because of your faith, because of your Christianity, will you stand firmly on the gospel? Or will you be moved? Or will you stand? Because some will try to throw you off. And that's the whole thing about wrestling with powers and principalities. The whole thing about wrestling is to get you off balance so that they can knock you down. But will you stand firmly when everyone comes against you? Whether it's loved ones who don't believe, dear friends who don't believe, that's what they're saying, why do you believe that nonsense? It's not true. It's archaic. It's old. It was good back in the early century. It's not good in the 21st century. No. It's foolish. Well, guess what? That's what they said in Paul's day, that the gospel was foolish. It's what they're saying today. This whole Christianity thing, this whole business is pure foolishness. It's utter nonsense. But will you stand on the gospel when those threats, when those things come about you or are said about you, when you're mocked? What will you do? When our whole Christian faith is lampooned, and it is, you see it on the airwaves, you see it on the web, you see it on TV. Everybody mocks the Christian faith. Silliness. Silliness. But what is it that gave all these men the strength to stand? It was the gospel. It was readiness that came through the gospel of peace. They made their stand. They made their stand, and they were immovable. That's what the gospel shoes do. Do you have them on? Do we have them on? Because they need to be on. So are we taking a stand? Let me read this here passage. It's a rather lengthy passage, but I want to read it because in this passage that we get from Ephesians, it reminds us, in this whole passage, by the way, It's all about defensive weapons, okay? Not offensive, but defensive weapons. So when we look at the gospel, shoes of the gospel of peace, we must think defensively. This is a defensive weapon to be used against an adversary. Yes, it gives us mobility. It also enables us to advance the gospel. But primarily, firstly, it enables us to stand firmly against the enemy. But we're told something about from Paul earlier, that in the battlefield, the gospel reminds us, because the gospel reminds us that when we're in the battlefield, we have a relationship with God that we should never forget. Never. So I'm going to read some passages from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. It's a reminder, and Paul meant it to be a reminder to the Ephesians. It's like this is, remember, Christian soldier. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man, and out of two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Through the cross. Remember that there was a time, Christian soldier, when you were separate from God. But through the gospel, through the work of Christ on the cross, he broke down that dividing wall between man and God, between Jew and Gentile. He brought peace into our lives. He made the two to be one. And through the gospel, he gave us direct access to the throne of God. So that is the gospel of peace. So we get to know the pillars of the gospel. Remember the four pillars? And we build around those pillars. We build all these truths, all these glorious truths, so that we take him with us in our minds, in our hearts, and knowing all these truths, it gives our feet stability. It enables us to stand. Paul, Peter, John, Athanasius, all these men, they were able to stand. Why? Because they laid hold of these truths and they stood on them firmly. Are gospel shoes important? Absolutely, they're important. Can't stand without them. You can't. Then we have this word, peace. Peace. Irene. We get that word. It's the Greek word is Irene. From there we get the name Irene. You may have had friends. I have had friends before. Their names were Irene. But Irene, it means peace. What does peace mean? It means in Greek to join or bind together what was separated. Something was separated in the past, but it's not separated no more. No, we know that in the life of Adam, he was in union with God. We know that because of sin, they caused that separation. But because of the peace of the gospel, the two have been joined. Through Christ, we no longer have separation. Through Christ, who is our peace, who is the gospel of peace, we have now been united once more to God the Father. We have peace. Never ever will we have separation anymore. Never. So we go to war knowing that we are always in union with God the Father through Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. We always know that. Always. Can you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 10? Where it says this by Paul, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? What a gospel. What a gospel. What poor dying saint, dying man doesn't need to hear that? The glorious truth. The glorious gospel. There was a time when we were enemies, but because of the work of Christ on the cross, that separation, that hostility, that enmity has been done away with. He has divided, he has broken down that barrier, that wall. That curtain has been rent in two. We now have direct access to God our Father. We can now call him Father, Abba, through the Holy Spirit. That's how close we are. Before his enemies, now our holy divine Father who loves us and will never forsake us and will never leave us. Always beside us, always in front of us. Our strong tower of refuge he is, always. And we march out to war knowing this all the time. It is what gives us peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of conscience. That no matter what happens, he is for me and never against me. A great truth, a marvelous truth. So what's this peace? Peace is nothing more. It's the absence of hostility, or it's the absence of strife. We no longer have hostility, enmity with the Father. He's our Father. Now we have enmity, we have hostility with the devil. Oh, before he was our Father, we were hostile to God. Things have changed now. We've translated from the kingdom of darkness to the domain of light. Our Father, who at one point was our enemy, has now become just that, our Father. And then Satan, who at the time was a father, has become what? Become our enemy and our number one enemy. A precious gospel, a glorious truth. We can't go anywhere without the gospel. We can't. Everywhere we go, we need to take the gospel with us. Everywhere. Never in the battlefield of life, never should we allow the adversary to tell us that we are enemies of God. Because we march off to war, we make our stand, and he sneaks around. He goes to the back door and he says, well, are you really a friend of God? Look at what you're thinking. Look at what you're saying here. Look at how you've been talking. Are you really a friend of God? I think you're probably an enemy of God. No, because he'll tell you that. He'll throw all these things at you. He'll say, he's forsaking you because of what you did, because of your sin. Look how guilty, how wretched you feel because of your sin. Oh, he has abandoned you. He has forsaken you. But the point is, Paul says, stand on the gospel. He has not forsaken you. He is with you. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He will always be beside you and in you through the Holy Spirit. Always. But Satan comes along and he throws all these things at you as you're marching along, as you're making your stand. Those are nothing more than, as one man, nothing more than demonic little stones. Demonic little stones that Satan throws and puts in your shoes. We've all gone for walks, remember? We've all gone for walks at some times in our lives. And then we found that there was a little stone in our shoe. And as we went for this walk, oh, that stone, it just bothered you. And it made the walk not pleasant. Whatever peace you had, you no longer have peace. And you know, this walk, oh, not a very good walk. Why? Because you got a little stone in your shoe, and that little stone is just ruining the whole walk. That little stone, it just robbed you of all your peace. Because that is what Satan does. Throws those little rocks in your gospel shoes, and they disturb you, they bother you, they irritate you, they annoy you. Now you can't even walk. No. Why? Because he's thrown all those things at you. What do you have to do? Because he plants those right there. Oh, they hinder you, don't they? They hinder you. Nothing can be done until you take out your shoes and take off those little stones and throw them away. Throw them away, because those little stones are nothing more than doubts, making you to doubt God. Does God, did he really say that? A little stone of doubt planted in your shoe, and you're going to doubt. And doubts can paralyze you. You're a Christian soldier, and now you're paralyzed because you're thinking, is God really for me? Because look at what I did. Look at how I really am. Is he really for me? And now you're paralyzed. Not a very good Christian soldier. There you are, standing, but not because you're ready for warfare. Standing because the devil has paralyzed you with fear, with flutter. Now you can't even move. Demonic little stones thrown in there in the gospel shoes. Do something about it. Remind yourself of the gospel. Paul says, remember the gospel that I gave you, which laid hold of you. And then remind yourself of the pillars, that Christ died for me on the cross, that he was buried, that he arose on the third day, and that he appeared to many, and he appeared to me in my life too. My heart at one point became Bethlehem, and Christ came, and he was born into my life. And he gave me a new heart and a new mind and a new nature. And he restored me. He reconciled me to the Father. And I am his son. You are his daughter. And nothing can ever change that. Precious truths. But you have to do something about those little stones, those little demonic little stones. They're going to ruin your walk if you do nothing about them. They'll paralyze you. Let me read from Romans. I'm going to read verses 31 to 39 from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. On those gospel truths we make our stand. When Satan comes along and he bombards you with those fiery darts, with those flaming arrows, and he tosses all those demonic stones into your feet, you remind yourself of the glorious truths of the gospel and of all those truths that shroud the gospel, that God is always for you. You need to know the gospel. It's important for us to know all these truths. What does the Bible say? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. That means we read the Bible. We read those truths, because when we do that, faith comes. Faith comes when we hear the Holy Spirit teaching us in Christ. Remember what Paul says? You've learned in Christ. You've learned by Christ. You have heard him. Do that. Read the Bible. Read those truths. Take in those truths into your heart, into your mind. They will give you what? Stability, steadiness, firm footing. You won't be moved. But if you're walking around like a Christian soldier who has no knowledge of the gospel, who has very little, it's going to be very hard, very difficult to have victory in Christ. When you so have so very little of Christ, how easy it'll be for the adversary to come along and just knock you off that ground. No, we need to know the gospel. These precious truths, and they all have to do with the gospel. All these things have to do with the gospel, with the work of Christ on the cross. These truths are the shoes that give us stability and the ability to stand. All these truths. And if we don't have them in our lives, we don't stand. We don't stand a chance against an adversary. Remember Paul's words in chapter 6, verse 12. He uses this word against, to emphasize how terrible the struggle is. Four times. And let me say it this way. Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against. It's not against the humans. No, no. Paul understood that behind these issues we have with people problems, behind it, Paul understood there's something behind the people that makes them do what they do. They have been blinded to the gospel. So Paul understood there's something greater, something more sinister behind all these trials, all these temptations. Not the person, but it's the demonic forces at work. But he uses this word against to emphasize how terrible the struggle is. He says, you, let me put it this way. But you are against rulers. You are against rulers. Know that. You are against the powers. You are against the powers. You are against world forces of this darkness. You are against that. And you are against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Against. Understand that this is a real battle, a terrible battle, and is being waged every single day. Satan is out to what? To just bombard you. What? In the heart, in the mind, in any way he can, to take you down so that you cannot stand. Because this whole teaching here is all about standing. But if we don't have this gospel shoes on, Paul says, if you didn't put on the gospel of peace, if you're not dressed in readiness, oh, there's no standing. None. None whatsoever. Mobility. And as I almost get ready to a closure here, being ready with the gospel doesn't only mean that you have the ability to stand. Being ready with the gospel gives you mobility as well. We know this. Through the Roman soldier, the caliga, enabled him to move, enabled him to fight and to stand when the enemy was against him, and it enabled him to move forward, either go up, go down, go lateral. It didn't matter. It gave him mobility because the gospel shoes, it gives us mobility. Mobility to do what? Mobility to advance the gospel. We need to advance the gospel, Paul says. Don't be ashamed of it. Advance it. Proclaim it. Preach it. Teach it. Do something with it. Don't just hold it in. Release it. Release it. Do something. But the gospel shoes enable you to go forward. Go forward with the gospel. Advance the kingdom of God. Don't do it out of fear. No, do it knowing that God is with you, that he will give you the words. He will give you the courage. He will give you the strength and the power and the might and the confidence you need. He was with Moses, and Moses said, well, I can't do this, Lord. But Moses and God said, I will be with you, Moses. I will put words in your mouth. The very same thing applies to his sons and his daughters. He will be with us. He will put his words into our mouths. He will give us the courage and the confidence and the strength we need. But we need to stand on the gospel. We must stand on the gospel. Mobility. Advance the gospel in the battlefield. You go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus here, Paul speaking of Jesus, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. We get those same words in Isaiah. Can I go to Isaiah 57, verse 19? The same thing that God said he would do for the lost sinner, the same thing that Christ came to do. God said it in the Old Testament. Now Jesus did it in the New Testament. God says he's creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord. I will heal them. Has God not healed you? Because I was a poor, lost sinner. And guess what came to me? Peace, peace to you who were far away. Because of the gospel that Jesus came, I who was far away, peace and peace comes to you by the work of Christ on the cross. The peace of God came to me. God says here, and I will heal them. God has healed me. Has he healed you? Because I've heard the gospel. I've heard the preaching. And this right here, it applies to the Christian saint. Because there was a time, when we were lost and separate, segregated. We had no citizenship, no God, no Christ, no hope. And then, peace, peace to those who are near and to those who are far. God says, I will heal him. We are healed if we're Christians. We have been healed. By his stripes, you are healed. Spiritually, I'm no longer lost, no longer dead, but very much alive in Christ. But we need to know these things because the fight, it's ruthless. It is hard. It is grueling. And Satan will lie to you. He will deceive you. He will do everything he can in his power to knock you down. Everything he can. And this is all, as I close it now, it's all part of the covenant of the covenant of peace that God said he would bring. Can you go to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26? Because this is God promising a covenant of peace. He says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. This is a covenant of peace. And it has been ratified by Christ on the cross. We have this peace. We have this covenant. It is a promise. It is a covenant that can't be abrogated. It can't be done away with. No, it is eternal. It is lasting. It is permanent. The gospel of peace gives us readiness. Nothing can take it away from us. When God says, I will bring peace, God means to accomplish peace. When he says, peace, peace, that means there is peace. The absence of strife, the hostility, the enmity, everything has been done away with. He has accomplished peace through Christ. Now we have this gospel of peace, and on that gospel we stand. We stand. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He is our peace. And the Holy Spirit brought Christ into our hearts, who is the living peace. That right there is the gospel of the gospel of peace. Are you ready with it? Are you ready? Paul says, be ready with the gospel of peace. So that's the big question this morning. Are you truly, genuinely ready with the gospel of peace? Or are you fighting this war shoeless, with no shoes on whatsoever? You either have them on or you have them off. But the only way to move forward is to make sure your feet are truly shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. If you don't have that on, that means you're not ready to be a Christian soldier yet. Be ready. Put on the gospel shoes. Walk the gospel walk. Talk the gospel talk. Live the gospel life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as I bring this close,